Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686 is our number. Don Fordham is a member of an organization called Surviving Prostitution. And, Don, we thank you for being on our program. You're talking about prostitution as in you, the customer, surviving it, right?
That's partially it, Phil. I was a individual who frequented prostitutes for 10 years, and it was a humiliating experience, every bit as much as humiliating as it would be for the prostitute, the female that we wanted to have relations with. The experience of having to go to a prostitute was so humiliating that a woman would ask you for money before she had sex with you that it traumatized me and has now traumatized me.
What do you do for a living, or what did you do?
I was in the television business. I was a television producer. Today, I lecture and live off basically my writings about this problem, which we think is very serious.
So your organization, Surviving Prostitution, is about the men who bought prostitutes being traumatized.
Well, to have to go to a woman and ask and pay her for sex is so humiliating, and it was brought on by the fact that my wife was not giving me sex. It wasn't that she didn't love me. It wasn't that she didn't care about me. She just simply was not giving me sex because she was busy with our children or she had a lot of different activities. And I, a married man with a woman at home, a healthy woman at home, and a woman who had mothered two children by me, all of a sudden I'm not getting any sex, I'm not having relations, so I had to actually go and pay a woman to have sex with me. That brutalized me and traumatized me, and anything in the culture that we saw would suddenly remind us of this humiliation. I can give you examples.
All right, so I know what you're talking about. Your wife would not have sex with you because she was too busy.
Well,
because it sounds to me like, you know that.
Well, because she's too busy. Because she, modern American women don't have. First of all, women don't really like sex as much as men do, and they will give it to us because they know it's part of their duty as a wife, but. Women don't like having sex with men as much as men like having sex with them. So, and I like to have sex, so what am I supposed to do? The thing that I had to do is I'd go to a woman and say I'd like to have sex, and she'd say that'll be $100 or $200, and I would be a shell of a man. I remember I vomited, and this was a spontaneous reaction. I said, I want to have sex with you, and she said, that's $500 an hour. And I had a physical reaction.
You threw up.
I threw up because I knew that I'd have to pay her. And now a lot of our members are traumatized by certain things that they see or hear because we have been so demeaned and so humiliated by this experience.
All right, now you're talking about going out into the world, right?
It is very difficult for me to go into the world because of this, yeah. Because I'm so humiliated by asking a prostitute for sex that what I see in the world now reminds me of my own shortcomings. I worked in Seattle, Washington for 5 years. I drove to work every day by the Space Needle. Okay, so what's that supposed to mean?
I don't know what do you mean? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I'm driving by the Space Needle, so they put that up. Why? Because my manhood is like a needle? Is that what that means? Or...
I don't think they put the Space Needle up to comment on anything other than the fact that it's the Space Needle.
No, I understand, but it's also phallic, and it reminds me of the fact that I got to pay a woman $200 to get the job done. All right, so sex becomes very perfunctory, and it becomes very automatic. It becomes businesslike. I get up in the morning. I go downtown or go to some of the places I know, pay a woman $300 to get it done. I go off to work. I'll do my regular job. I go back out, find a woman, another $300 to get it done. Then I come home, and maybe I'm all right till the next day. I couldn't live like that anymore. And then I drive places and see things, you know.
Well, you're saying because you were traumatized by purchasing sex from women, the Space Needle now reminds you of...
What? Tell me what you think that means. What do you think Carlsbad Caverns is all about?
What do I think Carlsbad Caverns is all about?
That Carlsbad Caverns is... Okay, so I'm so small I can't fill that up. When I see Carlsbad Caverns, it tells me I'm lacking because that's big. It's a big thing and I can't...
It's not personal, man.
No, I know that on one side, but on the other, I don't.
So you're not rational?
I don't think that I'm rational, but...
So it's like a phobia.
It could be, yes, sir. But what surviving prostitution is about is trying to get back out into the world when every time you turn around, you're humiliated. And now, because I can't get into the world, because I see coming up here is Groundhog Day. They have Groundhog Day at Gobbler's Knob. See?
And that's humiliating.
It is. Because that reminds me that I got to get it done for $300.
So the Space Needle, Carlsbad Cavern, any phallic symbol, the Washington Monument?
Anything.
And Gobbler's Knob. In other words, see, Gobbler's Knob is where the groundhog comes out of his cage, but that's about turkeys.
No, I know that. I know it's about turkeys, but in my mind... And
all right, so guys that frequent prostitutes, it means something else.
Yeah. So I open up the paper. I'm having a pretty good morning. I'm trying to just get by. I open the paper. I see the groundhog is coming out of Gobbler's Knob, and I go, okay, are you screwing with me? Are you trying to screw with me?
Nobody's putting Gobbler's Knob in the paper to screw with you. Nobody put up the Space Needle to screw with you.
No, I know that, but part of me doesn't.
But when you see the Space Needle, when you see Carlsbad Caverns, when you see Gobbler's Knob, you think that it is all a sexual humiliation.
That is exactly correct, sir, yes.
And that sexual humiliation started when you had to go to prostitutes to pay for your sex because your wife was too busy.
That is correct, sir, yeah. So what we did is
have you tried going to a doctor for this?
We formed a support group.
No, but a lot of doctors will work with phobias.
No, we don't go to a doctor. We have a support group. We have a 12-step plan. That's what we do, and that's what's going to save us. No doctor is going to help us. No psychologist. We've had enough of that. No, our 12-step program, we admit that we are powerless over the things that we... I see Gobbler's Knob, and I'm powerless over that.
You're powerless over Gobbler's Knob. You're powerless over the sexual humiliation.
Yes, sir. And I can tell you, I'm trying to get back to work, because I haven't been working for 6 months.
I understand.
I can't get out there because it's difficult for me. As a result, I haven't worked, and as a result, I can't pay my child support.
You were married to before this wife?
I've been married twice, yeah. And because I can't pay my child support, my children have not eaten properly, and my daughter, I've just been told, has been diagnosed with scurvy.
Well, all right, that's a tough thing. Your daughter has scurvy because she can't get enough food to eat, and you're not giving money to that household because you're not paying child support, and you're not paying child support because you're not working, and you're not working because every time you go out, you see something that sexually humiliates you.
Yes, sir.
And you are sexually humiliated because you had to go to a prostitute for sex, and you had to go to a prostitute for sex because your wife won't have sex with you because she's busy. The problem lies with your relationship with your wife, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't see how you... How do you draw that conclusion?
How do I draw that conclusion? You just said to me that your daughter has scurvy...
No, I know what's scurvy...
No, but just listen. Your daughter has scurvy because you haven't paid child support. You haven't paid child support because you don't work. You don't work because when you go out, things like Gobbler's Knob, the Seattle Space Needle, and Carlsbad Caverns... sexually humiliates you.
Yes.
And you are sexually...
You're laughing, sir, because you don't understand a father's love for his daughter.
No, I do. I'm just... And you're sexually humiliated because the fact that you...
Because I was forced to go to a prostitute, which men who are forced to go to prostitutes are the victims of a crime every bit as much as the prostitutes are. We are victims. The prostitutes maybe victims, maybe not. They wanted to be, but I'm victimized by prostitutes every day.
And are you still going to prostitutes?
Yes, I am.
But you've got a 12-step program. Are you supposed to swear off prostitutes in your 12-step program?
I'm not sure. I'm so confused. My program right now is difficult to follow. But swearing off prostitutes is part of our 12-step program.
Then why haven't you?
Because that's step 12. And I'm only on 6.
All right, I'm going to give our phone number out here, 1-800-449-8686. I'm familiar with 12-step programs. You begin to say that you believe in a power greater than yourself.
Yep.
And then you do some other stuff. I don't know.
Well, I know what it is. You don't have to tell me. I'm the one that runs the 12-step program, not you.
Right. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is an unusual phobia, and I do characterize it as a phobia, Don, the fact that you are afraid to go out because you're afraid that you see sexual humiliation in everything. You mentioned the Seattle Space Needle.
What does that mean? And what's the whole Hollywood sign? I live in Los Angeles. I see the Hollywood sign. And that's... Okay, so I'm not good enough to be in the movies? Is that what that...
No, that's not... Are you asking me?
Well, I'm just... I don't understand why that sign's up there.
The sign's up there to say that this is Hollywood. It's not to say that you're not good enough to be in the movies.
But that's how I feel about it. And I think that they are trying to make me look stupid.
And you have an anger problem, don't you?
Uh-huh.
So the Hollywood sign, the Space Needle, all of this is sexual humiliation.
And here we are, Groundhog Day, Gobbler's Knob.
And Gobbler's Knob is part of that, and I understand that.
Yeah, see, they open up the paper, oh, Gobbler's Knob. Why are they doing that? To remind me of what happened?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Men who go to prostitutes, they're victims too. The Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Don Fordham is with me. He is with a group called Surviving Prostitution. Now, you say you haven't paid child support in some 6 months. As a result, your daughter is suffering from a nutritional disease, but you can't get out and get a job because you are sexually humiliated every time you turn around, you see something.
Well, you know, you put it in a way that makes it sound like I'm callous. I love my daughter, but there are things that sexually humiliate me. Since I had to go to a prostitute originally, I was invited to a ski trip to Jackson Hole. And Jack, see what I'm saying? You know about
why? Because it's called Jackson Hole.
Yeah, I'm used to being laughed at, sir. What I'm saying is,
well, it's not funny when your daughter has scurvy and is malnourished.
No, but I can't go work because.
What is sexually humiliating about the town of Jackson Hole?
Jack's in hole. Okay, so he's in a hole, but I don't get to? That's...
And you realize what you're saying sounds idiotic.
I know, but it's also it's illogical, but it's also logical. So what we do in our 12-step program is we role-play, we work our 12 steps.
All right, I want to hear how you work the 12 steps. I'm going to get some phone calls on, though. We're talking with Don Fordham of Surviving Prostitution, that going to a prostitute is humiliating for men as well as the women involved. Susie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I just can't believe what I'm hearing. I think this is just completely ridiculous. I'm sorry, sir, but I just don't buy into this. The entire reason that you have this phobia is because paid enough attention to your family and get maybe
my daughter,
if you would have helped
right now,
your wife out a little bit, you wouldn't have had to pay for sex.
My wife
ended
is too
up
busy.
This way.
She's too busy to have sex with me.
Well, I don't buy that, sir. I'm sorry, but when you're in a marriage, you have a commitment. If she was busy with your children, maybe you should have helped her out more and she would have been more willing to.
How come you all of a sudden you make it my problem? See, this is typical of women.
It is your
this
problem, sir.
No, but you make it my fault.
from you not being there for your family. You complain now that you're not able to provide for your child. But
right.
You started this by being a person who went looking for a prostitute.
Because
I think
my wife would not, because
for
my
your
wife
entire
wouldn't
family.
Give it to, my wife wouldn't give it to me. I had to go to a prostitute.
Oh, you know, that is the most ridiculous thing I have ever, ever heard of. You had to go
looking for a wife because
your wife was too busy. In turn, this has all happened to you, and now your child has scurvy.
Yeah,
and
your daughter.
You can't work because you have some ridiculous phobia, so you really should get a life.
Ma'am, I can tell you that when I have a phobia, when I do see things in the paper like Gobbler's Knob or the Space Needle.
You sound to me as if you've got a phobia that is really locking your brain up a little bit.
I don't doubt that. But
well,
what do you mean the Rockies? What
program? If you cannot get a job for something as ridiculous,
I can't go get a job.
Well, if you don't get a job, your daughter is starving.
Don't you think I know that? Don't you think I know my daughter?
Don't you think it's important enough to go out and get over this? This is absolutely completely preposterous.
See, right now, Mr. Henry, this is painful for me because the way this woman is talking is the exact way my wife talks.
She deserves to talk to you like that. Look what you have done to her, and look what you have done to your child now. And this hurts me, and I don't even know you, that you are doing this to your children.
What are you doing?
It's painful for me to have her accuse me like this.
Well, how do you suppose that you're going to get over this, sir, if your last step in a 12-step program is to get rid of a prostitute? What are the other steps? To feel sorry for yourself every day and not propose to get any kind of job at all because you can't go out because some sign that says Jackson Hole makes you feel inadequate?
Ma'am, what we do is role play in our group.
Well,
the
sir, you need to role play that.
How do you role
play? You're not helping yourself at all at this moment.
I am trying to get past it, but when I open up the newspaper and I see guys.
How about don't read the newspaper?
Godless knob. Or I see Jackson Hole. What we do is we role play in our organization.
Tell me about role playing. What is that?
One will pretend he's the prostitute. The other will be the man, and we will pretend as if we're having intimate relations without exchanging money.
How is that?
How does that help you, Don? Stay with us, okay?
Yes, sir. We pretend as if we're having sex without exchanging money. We also show slides of the things that we fear, the Space Needle.
All right, so you're showing slides of the Space Needle and what else?
Of Jackson Hole and Gobbler's Knob. And then we help ourselves through that transitional period where it's all right to have sex without exchanging money, but it doesn't do no good if your wife won't give it up. See?
I'm sorry, sir. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't.
And the slideshow of what? Of the leading?
Of the pyramid, of the Sphinx.
What is sexual about the pyramids?
Okay, so you've never seen.
I've never seen what? Stay with us.
Have you seen those 1950s style brassieres?
You mean those like bullets?
Yeah.
So let me get this right. When you see the pyramids, it reminds you of like Janet Leigh, whatever her name is, in a bra?
Yes, sir.
And how does that make you feel inadequate?
Because what's that supposed to mean? In other words, the pyramids are there telling me that I can't get a woman?
Oh, my.
Oh, come on, man.
Very,
the pyramids weren't built to tell you can't get a woman. The pyramids were built to bury a pharaoh in.
See the way she laughs?
I'm sorry.
See the way she laughs?
I really think she needs way more than a 12-step program at this point.
Ma'am,
I said to you, Don, a doctor.
No, not a 12-step support group so that I can open up the paper and I can see.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gobbler's Knob and be all right. I just want to be all right and I just want to feed my daughter.
Sir, go out and get a job. Get some money. Your daughter's got scurvy. Do you understand?
Yes, I do. No one is more aware of that. But then the Leaning Tower of Pisa is more, what is that, more accurate?
Yeah.
What's that? Say I said Leaning Tower of Pisa, and she's already making a comment.
I don't, because I think it's ridiculous. I think this is
You're
just
making a comment about
ridiculous.
My sexuality.
You obviously have some psychological problems that need counseling in another way besides a 12-step program, because at this point you're going to be dealing with this problem for the rest of your life and your daughter may die. How do you like that?
Please don't say that.
Well, do you think that maybe you should come to the realization that your problem that you have right now may lead to that?
You got to go.
No way are you fixing the problem.
You're paralyzed, and you need to go to a doctor to get out of your house. And
no, the doctors are the old cure. The new way.
No, but your support group isn't helping you, man. You're going in once a week. You guys are role-playing having sex with each other with slides of the pyramids and the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
You are...
I'm sorry, okay? I don't mean to laugh. Then you tell me Groundhog Day is sexually humiliating. Didn't you say that?
No, I did not. No, I did not.
What did you say?
I said that the place where the groundhog comes out, Gobbler's Knob.
What's sexually humiliating about Gobbler's Knob?
Oh, please.
So have you ever been diagnosed with Tourette's or schizophrenia or anything like that that maybe you think you should address at this point? Because it sounds to me
I have a Tourette's problem, and
everything else that you've got other conditions going on here.
I have a pre-Tourette's.
Well, yes, you have pre-Tourette's, dude.
And obviously that needs some addressing, okay. And that needs a doctor to do that.
Please listen to me. You, ma'am, and I forgot the lady's name.
Her name's Susie.
My name is Susie.
Okay. You don't see what I'm saying about Gobbler's Knob?
No, sir, I do not.
Oh,
I don't see
on.
What you're saying about anything.
Come on.
I don't understand it at all. And I just
I don't either. What is it about Gobbler's Knob?
Sit on your ass and not take care of your family.
Yeah, Gobbler's Knob is a gobbling knob. See?
I'm sorry. See? I think that's just ridiculous.
And the groundhog going in and out of the hole. What's that supposed to mean?
It sounds to me like you have a sexual fetish, is what it sounds like.
No, ma'am. All I want is normal sex with a woman that I don't have to
pay
for.
Well, at this point, no one is going to give you that.
I will tell you this, and I'm paying you a compliment when I say this. You'd make a lousy prostitute.
Well, guess what?
Okay.
That would be good for me because I wouldn't be with men like you.
But why? Because I can't say
why? Because you're just completely inaccurate as a man, as a father, and as a person.
You're not paying your child support, your daughter has scurvy, and you can't say Gobbler's Knob. I've talked to a lot of people in my life, sir. You've got some serious, serious problems.
And, okay, so it doesn't make sense that I'm sexually humiliated by Groundhog Day.
No, of course it doesn't.
Susie?
No, I agree. It's ridiculous.
I don't get it.
Why would it make sense that you're sexually humiliated by Groundhog Day?
I feel sorry for your husband not knowing about the groundhog thing.
Well,
All right.
I'm glad that he doesn't because he
Thank
might
you.
End up like you.
Gobbler's Knob is bad for me.
All right. Thank you, Susie, very much.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, so we're done with the interview.
Yeah, we're all done.
So you're going to leave me just twisting in the breeze, huh?
No, I'd suggest you go out, get a job, feed your daughter so she doesn't have scurvy.
How could I go out when there's the Rocky Mountains are out there?
Why? Because they remind you of whose chest? Jane Mansfield?
Yeah, I...
Okay.
I just want to say that Groundhog's Day is a Gobbler's Knob. That groundhog going in and out of that hole, though, that's something.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Craig and I were just talking about how we're both sort of into the whole serial murderer investigation thing. We're not into serial murderers, but we're interested in the whole forensic and case file thing. And I said to him, hey, have you seen the Dahmer crime scene files? They're online now. He goes, no, really? What's the website? Oh, okay. And it was like we were talking about, who do you like in the regionals this year? Anyway, NBC's Today Show host Katie Couric called in sick on Tuesday, taking a rest from on-air duties. Katie's a bit under the weather, sub-host Ann Curry informed disappointed viewers. Couric, who just became the highest-paid person in the history of the news business with a new multi-year, multi-million-dollar contract, notified producers that she was suffering from a mild flu, according to sources. Couric is paid an estimated $65,000 a day under the new terms. More than eyebrows were raised, however, around NBC in New York City when photos started to appear on the wires Tuesday evening, taken at a party in Boston. Photos showing Couric partying it up with boyfriend, power producer, Tom Werner. What a slut. Oh, big deal. She went out and had a good time, okay? Excuse me, she lost a husband, she lost a brother. She's the single reason why the Today Show is doing any business at all. Guess what? She gets to go and have a couple of pops and call in sick. You and I do it all the time. Well, you do it all the time. I don't. I love the way they make this into a news story worthy of a Watergate investigation. This is Travelgate, Watergate. This is a pig squealing under a gate. This is all of them gates. Said one low-ranking NBC employee, that's how they identify the individual. Guy is freaking, he's scrubbing out toilets is what he's doing. I thought she was sick with all the budget cuts going on, with everyone cutting back and doubling up. She takes all the money and then calls in sick. The dirty, filthy slut. Couric did not return calls requesting comment, which apparently is supposed to make you look bad. Yeah.
Hi, Ms. Couric. This is Billy Smith from the Green Bay Sentinel.
Yeah, whatever. Here's the part, though, that bothers me. She was at the party with Tom Werner, and that's fine. He's a producer. If you know Carsey Werner is a production company, which was responsible for the Roseanne show, Third Rock from the Sun. Married with Children, Grace Under Fire. What's the new stuff, though? Did they do Married with Malcolm in the Middle? Anyway, smiling Werner likened himself to John F. Kennedy touring France with glamorous Jackie by his side. I'm the man who accompanied Katie Couric to this party tonight, he quipped on stage, paraphrasing JFK's famous remark. You see, he's a producer. He's a successful man. Just shut up, man, in public, okay? You're not as witty as the people you hire. So one of the things about a lot of these producer types is they have this idea that they're the stars, right? Only people like me and Janice and Chris and Craig, and you know, only we are aware of the behind-the-scenes people because we sort of work in a very peripheral way in the business and on the fringes of show business, it being radio, right? So, yeah, I know who Robert Altman is. Do the rest of you? Of course you don't. He's a director. You're only supposed to know the movie stars. Those are the only ones you're supposed to know, and the reason why is because they're the only ones that are interesting. The producers that open their big, flat, fat mouths and start saying stuff, I'm touring for Europe with Katie Couric. Just make your TV shows and bug off. Go sit by the pool with the phone and let the other people come around. And all right, so there's that. Everybody else gets the crumbled paper on the air. Why not me? Then we have the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday as we continue to do our commentary on the Super Bowl this year, the Rams and New England Patriots. By the way, go to our website, philhenryshow.com. You'll note that Joe Dickhead has predicted a Rams shutout, 33-0 over New England. Joe Dickhead has predicted this will be the first shutout Super Bowl in history, and the New England Patriots will be the, shall we say, recipients of that tooling. Drew Bledsoe, starting quarterback this season, well, actually not this season so much as seasons past for the New England Patriots, is under a 10-year deal with the New England Patriots, worth $103 million. He was paid $3.4 million this year. Kurt Warner, the St. Louis Rams, he has a 7-year deal worth $46.5 million. He has a $1.5 million paycheck that he drew this year. Tom Brady, the guy who is starting for the New England Patriots this year because of an injury to Drew Bledsoe, has a 3-year package worth $849,000. He drew salary of $298,000 this year. He's the starting quarterback and the guy that the New England Patriots can point to as their huge major reason for being in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady. $298,000 this year. I ain't saying that's bad money, but as Super Bowl quarterbacks go, that's a paltry piece of change. Well, guess whose agent is going to be knocking on the general manager's door next year? Yeah! I'm sure the kid's going to get a whole lot more money than that. By the way, that $103 million package, why is he only getting 3.4 this year? Because he probably backloaded it or he's deferred his salary till later. That's a cool thing to do. I wish I could do that. No, and second thought, I don't wish I could do that, man. I ain't got enough money to defer, huh? Just give it to you, Craig, and you'll keep it for me, right? You'll keep it under a mattress someplace. You'll keep it along with that heart-shaped pie maker that you're going to be giving to Nikki for Valentine's Day. No kidding, man. When he said to me Valentine's Day, I felt my heart skip a beat because I thought I'd missed it. And if you miss Valentine's Day, you're a man, you have a woman in your life, you miss Valentine's Day, you might as well put a 9mm in your ear and just pretend like there's a round in the chamber and just hear that click. And feel your bowels loosen and the sweat pour down your face. Because that's, you might as well be sitting there in a Quonset hut in South Vietnam in that whole deer hunter scene. That's what's going on with you. You're playing Russian roulette there with Christopher Walken. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget, if you'd like to order our Best of the Phil Henry Show 2001 CD, which, of course, is our CD for this year called Bring It, call 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445. All the money goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And go to our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. That's the only way you're going to get the great audio from our show today.